All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. What a wonderful worship set, Lee. Thank you so much for putting that together for us. It's wonderful for us to be able to worship the Lord together at the same time, the same songs. Even though we're displaced in different locations, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. He's active. He's connecting us together. So to be able to be joining in together simultaneously in that is just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. So welcome this morning. If you are regular at OFH, it's great to see you again. If you are new to OFH or returning, maybe this is your first time, we welcome you. We recognize that right now there's a lot of churches in our area and really all over the world that are not able to virtually, live stream like this. So we really, consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to be one of those locations that is equipped to do this. And we're very thankful that the Lord and had us investing in that, at least the degree that we were for years prior to this. So we recognize that there's folks that are looking for a place to land in this season, and we're welcome for you, and happy for you to come and land here with us. We welcome you. But we also recognize you're probably going to want to go back to your regular church at the end of this, and we bless you in that. We just want the Lord to be speaking to you in this moment, in this hour, so we're excited about that. We also recognize there's folks all across the globe that might not have a place to connect even beyond this point. You're welcome here at our Father's house. We've been streaming for a good long while, and we're looking for more ways for you to be able to connect with us and for us to connect with you where you are. So just excited about what God is doing in this time. So welcome to OFH this morning, and really welcome to our home. This is the third Sunday where we've had services here in our home. And I was talking to Katie, my wife, this morning just about how when we first purchased this home, one of the hopes and dreams we had for this place was that it would be a place to gather large groups of people and that we would have the Spirit of God here bringing salvations and baptisms in the Holy Spirit and all that happening here in our home. We didn't dream at that point in time that we would be speaking so far flung into the earth from this space. So we've certainly had, gatherings in person here in good scale, but this is a whole new level, and we're just excited to see what the Lord is going to do with that. So before we get too much further along, I just want to just thank the Lord and welcome him here into this message today. So Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for how you're connecting your people around the world. We're thankful for how you're spreading your message of the gospel across the world through us and through many, many others, Lord, who are just spreading what you have for us, Lord, and declaring it into the earth right now, Lord Jesus, combating against what's going on with this virus, Lord, and spreading your gospel instead throughout the planet. We just are so thankful to be part of that. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this time. I welcome you as teacher today. I welcome you as our comforter and our encourager. And we ask right now that you would speak things to our hearts that I can't even say, Lord, things that I can't even utter, that you would speak to the people that are watching right now, Lord. We thank you for how you're drawing all men to Christ, to the glory of the Father. We just are so thankful. So bless this message in your name. Amen. Well, here we go. I'm just really been excited about what God is doing with these past couple messages that we've had. I've just been feeling really just almost overwhelmed with how good God is and how he's just declaring a solid sound of victory right now amidst all the chaos that's going on. And we've been connecting with that here. And I hope that the words that I've been able to speak to you have been encouraging to your heart, that they've been uplifting you. So much of what we're hearing in the earth right now is downcast, and it's easy for us to get into that. But God is not afraid. He's not worried. He's not even surprised by any of this. He has a purpose in every single aspect of this, and we're excited to see what he's going to do with that. So I'm going to talk about a few things that Katie and I spoke about yesterday in our live broadcast we did on Facebook. And by the way, I have loved getting to do live Facebook stuff with my wife. Katie is just wonderful. I've loved hearing the wisdom that she brings out, and I've loved being able to partner with her in that. And I hope you're enjoying that too. We just are excited to share the encouragement that the Lord has been giving us with you, and we really see it as that. He's encouraging us so that we can encourage you, and we're happy that you're connecting with that, and that the Lord is just speaking life to you right now. So yesterday, we started in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. I'm going to read that to you because I think it's still the essence of where we're at today. It contextualizes where we're going. So here we go. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So why am I starting there? Jesus says these are the two greatest commandments. The first one is to love the Lord your God with everything that's in you, essentially. And the second is to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we were designed and destined to do. That's why God said in his commandments, this is what I want you to do. First and foremost, just love me. Love me with all of you. Love me with every aspect of you, your heart, your soul, and your mind, that you would commit that to me. And when he talks about love, Jesus describes love as obedience. Obedience to God's word, obedience to what he's told us to do, obedience to what he's called us to do. This should be first and foremost in us. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's a self-sacrificing love that's part of that. It's giving to others and putting them above yourself. And God demonstrates that in that he sent his son to us. Now, why I'm bringing this up is in the world right now, we're seeing a lot of the second greatest commandment: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Social distance, stay home, do all these things. Think about if that's your mom or your dad or whoever it is that you could potentially be getting sick. You need to be thinking about other people, and that's a motivation that the world has really jumped onto right now and how we're conducting ourselves in this. And that's about the limit of what the world has to offer us right now. It's not something that's untrue, but it's incomplete. The completeness is to love the Lord your God first and foremost. That's the motivation for everything. Now, the world isn't going to tell you that, but God is going to tell you that, and I'm going to tell you that today. You need to love the Lord your God with everything that is within you. And that means that we have to turn from whatever else that we would rather be doing and focus on him first and foremost. And truly, you can't do the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, fully without doing the first commandment first. Think about that. You can't quite love the way that God loves without loving him first and being obedient to him. So we're going to start there today. That's the context. But I'm going to take you into kind of the here and now of where we're at. As I was preparing for this, I was just like, Lord, where are you wanting us to go this week? What are you wanting to address? And we've been watching videos from lots of other folks, hearing what other Christian leaders are saying right now. And one of the things that the Lord brought to me was this image of baggage. And he was showing us, we're all having to sit at home right now. And we're looking around, and there's things in our house that we're probably thinking, okay, maybe it's time to do some spring cleaning. We got all these things that are kind of cluttered in our spaces. We're here. We finally have time to sit down and kind of deal with this stuff, these physical things. We could choose not to, but we also have the opportunity to do that. And what he showed me is, just like we have in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, we're in the same space. We're having to rest right now. We're not able to really go anywhere. And all of a sudden, we're sitting here in our space, and all of the spiritual baggage that we have is cluttered around us. Now, we can choose to deal with it or not. There's things that we've been kind of trailing around us as we've been going about our day that we don't want to deal with, but it just follows us. And we're able to use the distractions of our journeys through the earth and through the various responsibilities that we have out there or whatever it is that we can pop up to distract us from dealing with the things that are kind of pulling behind us that is just undealt with things in either in our past or maybe it's sin in our life or whatever it is. We just are able to ignore it because it's behind us as we move through the earth. But now we're sitting here and we're having to look and see what it is. For some of us, that might be a little small tote. We've dealt with a lot of things with the Lord at this point in time. For others of us, we could have a whole, hoard in our home of things that we have not yet dealt with. And the Lord is taking this time to offer us an opportunity to deal with these things. So here's how he brought us through this. I want you to go to James 1, and start in verse 2. And this is a verse that a lot of us don't like because it talks about trials in our lives. And James says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Consider it pure joy. That's a hard thing. When we're facing trials and somebody quotes this to us, we're like, you're just a jerk. Thanks. I don't consider any of this pure joy. But why does he say it? Why does he admonish us to consider our trials as pure joy? Well, we see this, that one, we're going to face trials of many kinds. That is just a truth. You're going to face trials in your life, and they're going to come at you from many different ways. You don't really have a choice in that. Some things we're able to avoid, but God will send trials to us that are unavoidable, and we have to deal with them. So we're going to face trials of many kinds, but we should rejoice in them because we know that number two is going to happen. The trial is going to produce something in us, and that is perseverance. See, trials aren't just meant to throw problems in your way. They're meant to produce something in us. Our faith is being tested, and it's not intended to destroy us. This activity is not intended to destroy. It's intended to strengthen us, to produce perseverance. To what end? Why does God want perseverance in us? Why is he trying to produce that in us? Because that perseverance is going to help us to become complete or mature. God is trying to produce maturity in us, and so he has to test us. He has to put us through trials. See, God wants to develop us as mature sons so that he can stand us up as accurate representatives of himself in the earth. When there are times of great trial, when there are times of struggles, when there are times of a need for strong leadership, God is sending his sons and daughters, when we say sons, it's not just a male thing, sons and daughters into the earth to represent him to wherever he has deployed us, because God wants to be made known in that place, and he wants his name glorified. And as sons and daughters, that's what we get to do. So trials are about us being tested, and we must be tested. You're not going through trials out of punishment. You're going through trials because he needs to prove you. It's a proving ground for you. So we're going through this right now from a perspective of proving. This isn't punishment. This isn't God, just trying to wipe out the planet or do anything like that in what we're in, whether we're talking about the virus or we're talking about economic impact from all of this. That's not what God's doing. He's bringing us through this, and he is proving himself to us, and he's also proving us in this time frame. So when we're tested and when we're proven, it's meant to identify to us where our weaknesses are, where they still lie in us, but it's also meant for us to identify for us where there's new strengths. So let's talk about that a little bit. As we go through our lives, we should be developing. And so as I'm talking to you about these principles today, consider that this isn't just a single instance in time. Consider that we are on a track going through our lives, being developed along the way, and the hand of the Lord is there throughout the way to continue to grow us and mature us. Now, he's going to present trials for us. It's on us whether or not we engage with him in it. We can mature. We have that option. We also have the option to stay stagnant or even revert. That is within our ability to choose. And so let's make some good choices here. So crisis, such as we are in now, exposes things in the world and in ourselves. Exposes both negative things and positive things. When systems get strained like they are right now, quickly the weaknesses come right to the surface. We find shortages in PPE. We find all these different processes and procedures that should have been in place maybe, or aren't in place, or there's new things that happen in crises that we never saw before, and we're scrambling to try to patch up the holes, and we're doing our best efforts. So a lot of the weaknesses come to the surface immediately. But then, usually, on a more quiet and subtle level, we see strengths that are emerging in that time frame. We're very quick to recognize the weaknesses that happen in things. It takes a longer time for us to notice the strengths that are coming forward. There's some real strengths that are coming out in this time. You know, as much as we've been scrambling to try to figure out this challenge, the world is also presenting some just beautiful strengths in how people are connecting with one another, how people are just bringing forward their gifts to encourage one another, just to see the beauty that's happening. Companies around the world are making things free and accessible to people. They're taking a hit at this time to make life better for people through the midst of this stuff. That's some really beautiful strengths in who we are as human beings, and it's wonderful to see come forward. Now, just as the world is doing this and the systems of the world is happening this way, within ourselves, we see the same thing. When we go through crisis, all of a sudden, there's things that come up in our lives that we didn't even realize were there. Sometimes we do know they're there. They're things that we've hidden. They're things we are undealt with. But then there's things that just emerge. We're like, man, what was that? We get some memory of something that pops up, or we see some behavior that emerges in our life that recognizes that there's some element of brokenness still in us that needs to be dealt with. So we are ourselves being proven in this time. Now, all of us are somewhere on that developmental spectrum. For some of us, we're going to enter this time and we're going to see a lot of strength that the Lord has built into us over the past years, over the times we've been through crises in our lives. We're going to see a lot of strength, but we're still going to see some weaknesses emerge in our lives. We all have things to deal with. And don't feel like you're free from that. None of us is free of that until we exit this world. Others of us are going to find a lot of weakness, a lot of fear that's coming up, a lot of anxiety, a lot of things that are really scaring us right now, and we're going to have a really hard time struggling to find where are our strengths in this. That's okay. God's got the entire spectrum handled, and part of us being in community with one another is so that we can lean on each other during this time. We can lean on one another, and we can point one another back to the Lord in recognition that He is doing something in each of us. So some of us, this might be the first time that our faith has really met a major test, a major trial. And so we're getting buffeted by this quite a bit. For others of us, we've been in the furnace before multiple times, and we have been proven over that time, and the Lord has refined us through that process to where we're able to stand here today and offer strength to other people. And that's a beautiful thing to do. That's part of Christ in us, the hope of glory, reaching out and encouraging and strengthening those that are around us. But for all of us, let's not get anything, get this out of our context. All of us are going through a test right now. The entire planet is going through a major trial. So this isn't just something that's happening in America. It's not just something that's happening in China or India or Iran or wherever it is. It's happening globally right now. The world is going through a major event right now, and we're going to come through this and out of it on the other side changed. We can't not be changed by this event. Whole systems are going to have to be rearranged. New ones are going to be started up. There's going to be a different mode of us approaching life on the other side of this, and that's going to bring about significant change. But in us, what is it that God is looking to change in us? What is He looking to change in us, and why is He bringing us through this right now? Are you familiar with the term proving your mettle or having your mettle tested? Now that's M-E-T-T-L-E, not M-E-T-A-L. If you go far enough back looking into this question, those two words were actually the same word for a while, and then they started separating out the spelling on them, but they harken back to the same thing. Mettle, as we talk about people, talks about our character, our toughness, our strength, our endurance. All of those things is our mettle, and that harkens to physical mettle, right? M-E-T-A-L. Strength, hardness, resolve, endurance, things like that we find in that physical quality. But for us, as we go through life, We're given opportunities to have our mettle proven to us, have it tested to those around us and to ourselves. And that's a lot of what's going on in this specific time. To talk about a time when somebody is having their mettle tested is to recognize that the strain that they are up against is something that is significant. It is kind of like a milestone. It's a proving point where you can look back and say, that strain was something that could break you. It was a time where you actually had to have your strength be brought to the surface and shown that you could stand through that. So you can look back on that and say, you know, that experience, I survived that. And I didn't just survive that, I did well in it. And I was proven to myself and others that I can stand in this position that I'm in. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the testing of METAL, because there is a linkage in here in how these two terms came forward. Testing metals. So you may or may not know this, but I am actually an engineer by trade. And in engineering school, one of the classes that almost all of us go through at some time is materials science. And I love that class. I loved it because it was hands-on, and we actually got to test, amongst other things, metal, and learn the properties and qualities of metal, how metals behave, how they're intended to behave, and how you go about testing them. And so I want to share a little bit of that with you today, because it actually is going to talk to you about what we go through when we're going through these trials. So one of the things that we do is we test metals for their strength, for their hardness, for their yield point, for their breaking point, their melting point. We look at the grain structure, we look at the purity, we look at imperfections in metal, and we would go through all this and just there's whole catalogs and whole books written on the properties of metals. And some of you watching right now might actually be metallurgists. I know of a few, and you know this far better than I do. But there's properties of metals and how we have tested them over time to know how they are supposed to respond. When you're designing and developing a metal, you're mixing things. You're looking for those qualities, those characteristics that you're intending for a purpose. You want to know how that metal is supposed to respond so that you can design a solution with that metal involved in it. So we want to discover how metals work, when cracks form, different temperatures, what's going to happen with that. So we would grab these different ends of these strips of metal, and we'd start pulling on them and put them in tension in these big vices, and we'd be measuring the tension and see what would happen, what point that metal's going to give or break. And it was a lot of fun. Lots of loud sounds, lots of loud noises, times putting metal in these super hot furnaces, and we'd be wearing protective gear and everything like that, just to melt things down and look at them. It was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed geeking out during that time. But what you see in this is that metals are supposed to respond a certain way. And when they don't, oftentimes there's some imperfection inside that metal. It can be a hidden crack that's down inside there where things didn't form right. It could be other impurities that have made their way into the metal. There can be different grain structures that aren't properly aligned, or things weren't heated right. Whatever it is, there can be impurities in that metal and imperfections, and the behavior of how that metal was designed or intended does not actually come forward. So you test these things in order to prove them so that you know that it's going to respond the way it's supposed to. When imperfections are found in metal, when you're developing it, you have to refine that metal. And how do you refine it? You take it into a situation where you heat that metal to its melting point, you bring it back into that liquid state, and what comes to the surface as you're purifying metal is what we call dross. It's the imperfections, it's the impurities, other substances that shouldn't be in there. And you scoop that stuff off the top, and as that metal rehardens again, now those impurities are not part of that metal. And so you can bring things back through that testing point again to see, has the metal indeed taken on the qualities that it's supposed to? And this is a process. Sometimes you have to do multiple times of refining that metal to pull all that dross away. And the more you refine that, the more purified that metal is. And this is a significant process. So there's more and more proving of that as you go along the way. And at some point, you come out with a refined metal that is exactly what you're intending it to be. And that's something that you can then use for its purpose, for its exact purpose. See, God's using this situation to test our mettle. He's watching to see how we respond in this situation. Now, God knows how we're going to respond, but he's watching to see what's going to happen. And also, he wants us to observe how we're responding. Through the crisis that we're in, through the pressure and the tension and the heat that's building up in this, we're all being put through that proving right now. And what's going to happen in that is things are rising to the surface that when you just look at us on the surface, everything looks smooth, everything looks right, everything looks fine and dandy. But when you actually get proven, those things have to come to the surface. And it's not coming to the surface so God can say, ha ha. It's really coming to the surface so he can say, I want us to deal with this now. I have grace apportioned in this moment for this thing. I want to scoop that thing away. I want to take you into that time where we can melt things down and I can just scoop that stuff away. You can't get rid of that yourself, but I can get rid of that. God wants to do that with us. We all have impurities that need to be removed. These can be sin. They can be areas of pain from trauma that still need healed. They can be habits that we're in that just are not productive. Whatever it is, things are getting in the way of our relationship with God, and God wants to remove them. If you're in a place where you're finding yourself quickly drawn to fear, there's an absence of God's love in that area of your life, and he wants to bring healing to it. And we serve a good, good Father. We are loved by a good, good Father. He's not looking to beat us over the head or any of that. He wants to prove us so that he can show us where it is that he wants to work on, but also show us what he's already been doing in our lives. So, one of the things that I want to share is that we have an opportunity in this, if you consider us along this analogy, like that metal that's being formed, where there's impurities that have shown up, where there's opportunities for change, opportunities for transformation, opportunity for God to come and say, I want to remove that impurity. There is opportunity for us in this to make a choice, to allow ourselves to enter into a place of vulnerability with the Lord, where he can melt our hearts and bring us to that point where he can remove those impurities. See, heat can do a couple different things for metal. High enough heat will bring it back to that melting point. A lower heat, which is also a very high heat, will bring that metal to a point of hardening. So we have an option as we move into this time. We can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I yield myself to you. I put myself in the place where you have access to my heart, access to those impurities. Just bring me to that melting where I'm just vulnerable. The strength and resolve that I would have is pulled away, and I'm here submitted to you in that place where you can come and scoop that away. Otherwise, we have the opportunity to turn our backs on the Lord in this time, not take what he's offering us, and to harden our hearts. And when we're hardened, we become more crystallized in the qualities that were already evident there. Any impurities start getting locked in, and we're left with what was there in the first place, and it becomes more and more challenging for those things to be dealt with. So don't harden your heart against the Lord. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about repentance. Now, repentance isn't just asking for forgiveness. It's not just admitting that you're wrong. It's not those things. Repentance truly means for you to turn from something to something else. It means to stop going in the direction that you're going in and move a completely different way. It's an act of volition that recognizes where I'm going isn't where I want to go, and I want to turn to where I want to go. And I'm saying here, turn to God. Repent from wherever it is that you're at, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, whatever it is that's coming up right now, repent of those things, which means turn away from them and turn towards God. Turn towards his loving arms and be received by him in this time. We don't have anywhere to go right now. We're in the midst of this thing. We're in the midst of this crisis, and God is giving us an opportunity right here for resetting. He wants to deal with some things that are in our lives, and there's grace and mercy in this period. So I want to remind you that Romans chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that it's his kindness, God's kindness, that is intended to lead us to repentance. It's not God's big stick waiting to spank us or whack us over the head that leads us to repentance. It's his kindness. It's his goodness. He says, just come to me. Come to me and let me take those things away from you. You can't do it yourself. I'm your loving Father, and only I can reach in there and scoop that dross away. See, God has the intention of forming his character in us, which means he has to remove from us the things that are impure, that are getting in the way of that. If we're going to stand up as mature sons and daughters representing our Father in the kingdom of this world as representatives of his kingdom, then we have to have his character formed in us. And his character is love. If you're feeling fear right now, here's good news. Perfect love casts out all fear. And that's what our Father wants for us, is to give us his love and to impart that into us so that his character, that loving character, can be presented in the world. I want to take us to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3 and go through verse 9. Now watch what Peter says here. By the way, Peter faced some pretty significant trials in his journeys with the Lord. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of what? Trials. We're suffering grief in trials, but through that, we greatly rejoice. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, here he makes reference to metal, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love how Peter juxtaposes the actual refining process that's going on in the hearts of us as believers with the refining of metal. And he's showing that the metal, something of this world that we can understand, is going to perish and it's going to fade away in the end. But the refining that you're going through in your hearts right now, if it's found in the Lord, is going to last eternally, because there's an inheritance that exists in heaven that we have access to right now. They can come here and now. That's why he says, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. These things are already here and now, and we're drawing on that in this time and in this space. God wants to refine us in this time. He's calling us to himself. He's asking us to come. He says, come to me. Don't harden your hearts. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 now. This speaks directly to this. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Don't be hardened by sin. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Don't turn from him. Listen to the appeal from the Lord right now. He says, come to me. Come to me in this season. I've removed all the distractions, and you're here looking at this time and the things that are coming up. Let's review them together. Let's go into it. Look what I've done in you. Look at how you've been proven. Look how much stronger you are than you were. But look at these other things. I still want to deal with them. And here's the mercy of God. He doesn't show us all the things that he's going to deal with us in our lives at one time. I think we would die. But he is sufficient for all of it. And he isn't worried about it. He's not trying to rush through any of it. He takes us through at the pace that we're able to go out with him in removing those things. He's so good. He's so gracious. So what then should we do? Turn to God in this time. Respond to him. Take stock of what is actually happening in your heart right now. I mean that. Get a notebook, get a piece of paper or something, get on your iPad or your tablets or whatnot and write down, where is my heart right now? What are the strengths that I'm seeing coming out? And where am I lacking? Where am I finding weakness? What behavior am I seeing that's emerging that I didn't expect? Or where am I getting stirred up and finding a lot of fear? Write those things down because you need to actually identify them. And God wants to identify them with you. And the Holy Spirit is here with you to be your comforter and your encourager and your paraclete to hold you up in this time to bring you through. The next thing, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him. Be excited about the things that have been proven in you. Be excited about the strength that he's been pouring into you, the things that he's revealing to you. Even if it's just the smallest, most minute thing, ask him because he sees what the strength is. Let him show that to you and rejoice in it. Thank him for it. Thank him for the work that he's been doing in you and that he's bringing you forward. The second thing, yield. Yield to him. Surrender to him. Turn away from the fear, the doubt, the shame, the sin, whatever it is that's being exposed in you right now. Recognize that he's allowing that to come forth so that you can yield and surrender it to him. Allow him to remove it. When we get to the other side of this time, don't let it be that you had an opportunity for growth that you didn't take. Don't let it be that there is an appeal to you strongly from the Lord that says, come to me, or return to me, or give over to me these things that have been hampering you. I want to take them. Don't let it be that you heard that from him and you turned the other way and said, not now, or I won't do it, or I'll deal with it tomorrow. Deal with it today, because his grace is a portion for today. I'm thankful to him personally in this time that he's bringing some things forward. I want to share with you that as I got through working on this message, I got to the end of it and I thought, this is sounding really familiar. Where is this from? I mean, recently familiar. Something happened. I feel like there's something in this. So I started digging back through my notebook here, and I found in November when Sam Solon was with us, he was speaking to a group of us actually about the refinement of metal. And he even talked in there about not hardening our hearts. Now, the way he approached it was from a totally different point, but what he was doing was he was seeding into us things that the Lord was going to bring forth and bear fruit in good season. And I'm watching this now coming up in my own heart. This is something I'm rejoicing in the Lord before you and giving testimony to, that the Lord has put these things in my heart for you and for those that you're going to talk to, because God wants to bring these things forward. We have to understand that God is developing us, and he has us on a pathway and a timeline. And for those of us that are scared or worried or don't know what to do, reach out to those that aren't scared, that are firm in the Lord, that are rejoicing in this time that he has brought them through things so that they can be strength to others. If you're strong right now, or you're just surprised that I'm at peace right now so much, God's given you that peace, one for you, but secondarily for the people that are around you, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love them as you have had to have been loved in the past by others that were strong in seasons of crisis. You get to be here for others right now. I'm going to pray with us here in a little bit, but before I do, I want to ask if we have any prophetic words that have come up. All right, we've got one word. Come on, we're going to put it on the other microphones here so you can talk.
Good morning. There was the sense that I had was that the Lord is wanting to deal with abandonment this morning, and I think that he's specifically calling out this struggle because there might even be the sense from people that God has abandoned them. And he's wanting to show you that, indeed, I have not abandoned you, and I actually want to address this issue. It was a reaching out of his hand as an invitation to bring healing in this area. And I also had the sense that there's a specific person that he's wanting to specifically address. I don't have a name. What I saw, however, was the tiger on the side of the circus animal cracker box. You know, the boxes that we used to get, the circus animal crackers. And it had the little string that you could carry it around with. And I saw a little girl of about the age of 6 or 7 carrying this around. And it was something that was a treat whenever she received this. It was something that even became a source of comfort for her. And I felt like the Lord was speaking directly to that little girl who perhaps experienced or is dealing with issues of abandonment and really is giving her the invitation for healing in this season. And so if that is you, certainly you have the option to go before the Lord. But if you want someone to pray with you, you also have the option of going to Our Father's House Facebook page, messaging us, and we will get someone in contact with you.
Thanks. We're going to pray right now for that. But there's been something that's been on my mind since yesterday as I was preparing this message, and I feel like there's somebody out there who is considering making a dramatic negative movement. I don't know if that is harming yourself in some way or not. You're looking at the situation, it's hopeless. I just want to speak to you right now that the Lord loves you. He gave his life for you, and he doesn't want you to take yours right now. He wants to do something through you. I feel like this is a man that's out there, and the Lord is just speaking to you right now that he is going to dramatically change your circumstances. He wants you to come to him, and he is calling out to you right now and just saying, I love you. I love you, son. Just come to me. Come to me right now. I know this stuff looks insurmountable, but I'm bigger than all of it. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own the hills. I know all of it. I've created everything, and I can be bigger than this circumstance in your life, and I want to prove myself to you. Just come to me and fall in my arms of grace. So I want to pray right now for two types of individuals out there, and I think many of us can fall into this. One are those that have been far off from the Lord. You have made a choice for the Lord. You've followed Jesus, but you've been in a season where you've been wandering and you've not been following him. And what's going on in the world right now is drawing you back to him. There's a recommitment that he wants you to make to him. And I want us to pray through that together. I went through a season like that myself back in college. It was a really hard time for me. But the Lord drew me back to him, and he dramatically changed my life when I said, Father, I'm going to come back to you right now. He had never left me. He had never forsaken me. But I needed to recommit my heart to him. And so I'm going to pray for you right now with that. Also, for those that are hearing my voice right now that do not yet know Jesus, you've never made a commitment to him. You've been scared of him. You have been turned off by what you've seen in Christianity. You've been turned off by what you've seen in Christendom and back across history and all that. We've done a poor job of representing the Lord over time in many situations. But who Jesus is higher than that. And who he is love. He is the embodiment of love. God sent him to the earth so that he could die for your sins, because sin has separated all of us from the Father. We're born into it. We don't have a choice about that. Without Jesus, apart from him, our eternal destination is known, and that is eternal separation from God in hell. But through Jesus, we have an opportunity, an open door back to our Father. God sent him here for us. He paid the price for our sins. You can't do enough good in your entire lifetime that will earn you a way back to our Father. The only way is Jesus. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But he's come to all of us and says, I paid the price for you. It's done. Just receive me. Receive this gift and follow me. He died and went into the ground. And 3 days later, God's power raised him from the dead to show that he had victory over death, that he gave him resurrection life. And we have an opportunity to join into that when we say, Jesus, come and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Be my King so that I can love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all of my mind. and that we can surrender our lives to Him so that He can live through us and we can be in communion with Him, not only in eternity, but right here in the here and now. We get to live lives surrendered to God. What does that mean? That God gets to live through us. If we're obedient to Him and obedient to what He's doing, then as the Spirit leads us, we get to go and do what God wants us to do. What an amazing thing that we have an opportunity for. That doesn't mean your life gets easy. If anybody tells you that becoming a Christian makes your life easier, don't believe them. But what it does mean is that you have a hope. You have a hope that is eternal. We are all going to face trials. We are all going to face temptations. We are all going to have the enemy come against us. But for those of us who believe in Christ and who have followed Him and made Him King of our life, we have dependency on Him, and we know that He will show up in our darkest hour to bring us through, because we were never meant to do this alone. When we're in the kingdom of darkness, we don't have a choice. Nothing is going to get us through that time other than our own strength, and we'll be tormented by the enemy without any hope in the world. We don't even have a hope that when we get through it on the other side that everything's going to be great and wonderful, because our eternal destination is separated from God. But for those of us who believe, and this is a choice to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, for those of us who believe, we know that no matter what we face, even if it is death, that we have eternal life with Him. I'm thankful that as I look at this moment right now, whatever He does, whatever is allowed to come to my way, I know that my destiny is secured with my Father, because I have given my heart to Jesus and say, come and live and reign and rule in me. And even when I mess it up, even when I just totally blow it, I know that He loves me and He says, come here, I got this. I can clean up this mess. And I'm so thankful for Him. So I want to pray with you guys today. Firstly, for those that don't yet know Jesus, just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner separated from my Father. And I thank You that You came and died for my sins. I ask right now that You would come and be the King of my life, that You would take me out of the kingdom of darkness into Your kingdom of light, that You would give me access to my Father's heart, and that I would find new life in You. I thank You that You've forgiven me of my sins, past, present, and future. And I thank You that I get to live in new life in You. Come and be my King. I commit and surrender my life to You right now. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to let us know. Put it in the comments. Reach out to our church. Let us know that we have a prayer request line. It's 301-284-8637. It's on the screen right now. Call that line. Let us know. We want to pray with you. I want to pray for that second group of people, those who have come to the Lord, but you've been wandering. And there's things that are in your life right now that you know need to fall away. And you're hearing my voice right now, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, because that's what He does. I don't have to tell you what it is you're doing. He knows, and you know, and He says, just give it over to me. Come back to me. You've been running far off. I want you to run with me. Now, I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. But I want you to be obedient to me and go where I tell you to go. I want you to respond to what I'm telling you to respond to. Because there are people who need to know about God. And they're only going to get to learn about Him through you. Father, I thank You right now for those who have been running far off, Lord. They've been doing things that have seemed right in their own eyes, Lord. They've fallen away from following what You're doing. But right now, Lord Jesus, we call them back to You. We ask for Your grace to come into their lives. We ask for Your power to come into their lives, Lord. I ask that they would see grace on the other side of this like they've never experienced before, that they would find their purpose and their calling in You, and they would be restored to You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for this heart of the prodigal, that as they come back, Lord, they would truly find that robe, Lord, the ring, the sandals, Lord Jesus, and the feast, as You just celebrate one who's come back, come home, that You would just lavish Your love on them, Lord Jesus, and they would find, Father, just an impartation of wisdom and grace on the other side of this like they'd never experienced before. I ask for your gospel to go forth through them, Lord, that things that they've been carrying for a long time that they have difficulty with getting rid of, Lord Jesus, would fall away as they come to you and say, Lord, I just surrender, melt my heart, and just take this dross off the top of me. Lord, I just thank you for them. I bless them right now in Jesus' mighty name. And for that person right now who has been in fear and is on the verge of doing something drastic and dramatic, the Lord is reaching to you and he says, give me your heart today. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And I will change what's going on in your heart and in your circumstances. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to do communion right now. I love communion because communion, we get to partake in what's representative of the body of Jesus, his flesh, broken for us when he went on the cross, and his blood that's poured out in the new covenant. Now, his covenant is better than the first covenant, and Jesus paid the price for our sins. You know, Jesus had a commandment for us. He had told us the first and greatest is love the Lord your God. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. His commandment to us is not just love your neighbor as yourself, but love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave his life for us. He, as the king of the universe, humbled himself and washed the feet of those who are around him. This is more than just love as you would want to be loved. This is love over and abundantly. Jesus is in perfect confidence knowing that he is in command of everything and he has no problem getting down on his hands and knees and just demonstrating his love poured out for others. So Jesus, we thank you right now. Take your cracker, take your fishy cracker, your bread, whatever it is that you have right now, and just recognize, Lord, this represents your body broken for us, and we thank you for the sacrifice you made. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that was poured out for us, that was shed. Lord, your blood washes us clean, and we just thank you for that. We partake today remembering what you did for us, and we thank you for that sacrifice. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son to earth, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us right now and you're uniting us in your peace and in your glory. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Take, eat, and drink. Thank you for joining us today at our Father's house. Thank you for coming into our home and sharing this time with us. We're excited about what the Lord is doing in you. Like I said, let us know where you're watching from, where you're joining us from. And if you prayed either one of those prayers today for the first time, tell us about it. We just want to bless you. We want to let you know that God has great plans for you. Here at our Father's house, our vision is that we would see a hurting world healed and that we would see people launched into their destiny. God has great destiny for every single one of us. And that destiny, our truest destiny, is found in him. It doesn't matter how good you are at all the things that you have. If you don't have Jesus, you have not reached the fullest height of your potential, because it was always, always designed that you would be in him. God bless you. Have a great week. Love one another. Be praying for this world. Be praying in particular for Italy. They need your prayers right now. They're having a major health crisis there with this virus. But God is greater. God bless you. Amen. See you later.
Bye.